Welcome back to Brain Body Movement, the podcast for those interested in everything nutrition, training, and mindset. I'm one of your hosts, Brad, and I'll be joined by my co-host, Brock. Today's episode was a Q&A where we answered four questions that got sent to us through social media. Question number one, what is the difference between total carbs and net carbs? Question number two, do you think technology has had a positive or negative impact on the health and fitness space? Question number three, how do you know how many days you need to work out in a week? And question number four, what's the one thing this year you've needed to rethink about your coaching? That was in the back half of the show. And in the front half, we spoke about our nutrition and training, Christmas movies, a woman that started powerlifting in her 50s, and gave you a few random facts. All right, enjoy the show. Don't keep making the same mistakes. Try to make new ones.
Now, I've learned from my lesson from last week. I've got to say something different. So when I first read that, when you sent it through to me, the first thing that came to my head was Albert Einstein's quote, where he says, the definition of insanity is repeating the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that's quite common in the health and fitness space. Like, oh, I've tried everything. What have you tried? Oh, I've tried keto. I've tried cutting carbs. I've tried getting rid of bread. Tried getting rid of pasta. Okay, so you've tried exactly the same thing over and over and over again.
I've tracked calories.
Yeah. So, yeah, learn from your mistakes and then make new ones so you can learn again. Learn, adapt, grow. What was Bear Grylls? Improvise, adapt, overcome, something like that. But yeah, learn, adapt, grow.
Yeah, 100%. The only thing I remember from Bear Grylls is when he drank his own piss, really.
Doesn't everyone remember that?
Was it out like a snake skin and shit?
Yeah, yeah.
I think he would just be known as the drinking his own piss bloke like for so long. But yeah, I like this bit of unsolicited advice. I think if you think that you're not going to make new ones, like you're not growing, really. Isn't it that whole growth mindset versus fixed mindset that Carol Dweck talks about in her book? Just got to keep growing or else you just won't improve. And that's just like with everything, really, like with evolution too, I guess, coming here. Like, if it wasn't for people before us, we wouldn't be in here talking to each other over a fucking computer.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Like, I would not have thought of this at all. And I don't even know how it works. Like, you know.
if you were to go back in time and you were to drop this laptop with all the technology it has on it, like just even 50 years ago, if you were to just drop it in the middle of a town square, they'd be like, aliens, yeah. Aliens.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It wouldn't have been that long ago that they still thought of witches and shit. Burning them,
yeah,
or throwing them with some like weights down in the sea. They're like, oh, they would have died anyway. Like, if you're a witch, you'll survive this and come up, and then we'll kill you anyway. Whereas, like, you get going down to the bottom of the seas. Oh, okay, she probably wasn't a witch, but oh well, she's dead now. It's like, you know, death sentence, man. Death sentence. Oh, not
anyway.
Good.
How are you, man? It's been a couple of weeks since we caught up.
It has been a couple of weeks since we've had the old chats before the old questions. Yeah. I've been well. Haven't been dieting, just been chilling at the moment. Just enjoying all the festive foods that have been going on because I've had a lot of holiday stuff going on with different sides of the family. So it's been fun. Like, just remembering what we spoke about last week of like making sure we're eating all like the food that you wouldn't normally see on a normal day, which was great. And then we got out the old cricket set, play some cricket as well, which was always good fun. Getting sweaty. And yeah, training's been pretty good. Haven't been hitting big numbers, just haven't been feeling it that much like the last couple of weeks. I don't know if it's because it's ending to the year or what, but I don't know. I did like these split squats and it wrecked me for like a couple of weeks. I was like, oh my God. Cause I'm like trying to introduce some new exercises in as well. Cause I'm like, I want to improve this squat, but I also need to, you know, increase some quad growth as well. Instead of just keep doing the same old squats, which I don't enjoy the most. But yeah, like I said, I am enjoying them a bit more. But yeah, just keeping chilled with the food at the moment. just enjoying it. I've been staying at the missus' house a lot, so the structure's been out for my food a bit, but it's all right. It's the holiday season, so this week going into it'll be so this would have been released just after Christmas, so
Just after Christmas,
yeah,
yeah.
just after Christmas. So I hope everyone's had a great Christmas.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's I'm going good into it. I'm probably going to go into a deficit these next few days leading up to Christmas, like we spoke about. I just prefer that and see how I go from there. What about you, man?
Well, I went down to Melb's since we last spoke
Yep.
for Rufus 2.0. It was a good little getaway, hey. I stuck to my word. There was not a single drop of alcohol involved, and I had just as good, if not, sorry, if not better time. So they're amazing. They are my favorite artists for a reason, and I don't think they could put on a bad show. So had a great time down there. Then went on a bit of a food bender, I suppose, for the 36 hours following, and enjoyed all the delicious food of Melbourne that, like, I cannot get in Queensland. So I made the most of the plethora of food options they have down there. Caught up with Adam.
Oh, really? How is he?
Yeah, he's doing well. He's doing well.
Awesome. Shout out if he listens to this.
And yeah, just had a great time. Training's been good so far this week. Only problem is there's just so many casuals in my gym. Now, for me, if I was to go to another gym and I was to pick up a dumbbell in the dumbbell rack, or if I was to take a bit of equipment from one location to another, I wouldn't just leave it there. I'd put it back where I found it. But for some reason, the casuals in the gym, they just leave it a mess, hey. Like, and for
They care.
someone who's borderline OCD like myself, it just grinds my gears so much. So yeah, that's one frustrating thing about this time of year in the gym that I'm at, because it's the only really gym in the Noosa area. So we get lots and lots of casuals, and because Noosa's a popular holiday destination, the gym's just rammed. So I've decided I'm going to take 3 weeks off from Christmas just because I
As
can't
in, like,
train people. Well,
working or.
it's because I feel bad training people in the gym because I can't provide the quality of service that I would like to, just because there's so many people and the gym's a mess, and yeah, it's a bit of a nightmare. So yeah, I'll be taking 3 weeks off, but that allows time for moving, New Year's festival. I got a few things
You got another
in the
festival on, mate.
works. Yeah, 7th of Jan.
Oh, mate, what is it?
Wildlands.
Okay. It's
Yeah.
for an artist that you haven't seen, or?
Yeah, Diplo, Dom Dollar, H, Cajun
Oh,
Arda. Should be
Dom
good.
Dollar. I remember Dom
Looking forward
Dollar.
to it. Yeah. Got a good little crew again.
Oh, awesome. That's so good.
But yeah, training's been going well. Tried to pull 230 on the deadlift yesterday. I could have got it. Like, once I get that bar off the ground with the deadlift, I pretty much know I can get the lift, and I could have got it. But I tweaked my back a little bit the week prior, deadlifting fasted. And I really pushed my strength when I shouldn't have, because I was fasted. This time I was fed, and I could have pushed it, but I had that fear of that 5, 6 days of pain I had with my back from pushing fasted. So I just pulled it up easy. I probably could have got it. Next week we'll go 235, 240, and see how I go. But yeah, strength's going good. It's just the shoulder and forearms giving me a bit of niggling issues, but I'll manage that. I don't think I'll hit the 3-plate bench by the end of the year, but I'll be
No.
damn close.
Yeah. Is it playing up when you're benching, is it?
It's just giving me a little bit of grief on pressing movements, like my forearm. I don't know how to describe it. It's almost like it doesn't really want to straighten, like my arm, like there's something catching in my forearm. It's not like a tennis elbow or a golfer's elbow or anything like that. It feels a bit different, so I'll probably go to an osteo or a physio come the new year, and well, I'll have that little bit of time off and just get their opinion on what they think it is. So
That's the best advice I would have gave. Like, if you've done some stretching beforehand and that, and it's still playing up, best get it looked
yeah.
at ever like a from a professional that can see it from the outside instead of trying to
Yeah.
self-diagnose and then, yeah.
Oh,
But you got to go
we're
to a
our
good
own
one, don't
worst
you?
coaches. We're our own worst coaches, right?
Yeah.
There's so many times where I'm like, I shouldn't be training, but I still train and push myself anyway. Like, it's ridiculous.
So many times.
Yeah.
But
I want to discuss the World Cup, mate. Did you watch the World Cup at all?
you know what? I am not the biggest soccer fan or football, as they
Football.
call
You
it.
don't want to offend people, mate. Football.
Sorry, yeah, football fan. I watch like replays, so
Yep.
which pretty well encapsulates the whole game anyway, in like a 3-minute clip of all the shootings and then in the goals. So yeah, it was, I mean, it's good. Like, been to one match, which was epic, with you and Adam and...
Adam and... Was Geordie there?
Was Geordie there?
No, Lockie.
I remember. Lockie, was it? Yeah. And we found that, like, turkey bottle underneath the seat.
Mm.
So that was good. So I love watching it. And, but yeah, that's all, really. I didn't... You obviously did.
Yeah. So Messi won a World Cup and pretty much ticks off every box he can in regards to accomplishments in soccer. Pretty much solidifies himself as the GOAT, in my opinion. Now, he's the most talented footballer, but I don't think he works as hard. He's just so insanely gifted. It's like he's got Velcro in his shoes. But what I wanted to talk about was, and this is me putting on a bit of a tinfoil hat here, was the photographer. Did you hear about the US football photographer, reporter,
journalist
that died over there?
Yep.
So he went to a press meeting, press conference where players are talking and being interviewed after the game, and he wore a rainbow or pride shirt in support of his brother who is gay, and he wore it to this press media conference, whatever it may be. And then 2 days later, was found dead, and they can't really pinpoint a cause of reason why. Now, me putting my tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist brain on, it's happening in a country like Qatar, where there is absolutely no rights for homosexuality and the LGBTQ community. I hope I got that right. So me putting my conspiracy theorist hat on is like, oh, was this foul play, or has he just naturally passed away? Because his brothers came out and said he was of great health. So,
yeah, I did end up reading into it after you said about it. Because I'm like, nah, that can't be right. And it turns out that his death was caused by an aneurysm.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. So,
how that aneurysm occurred?
I yeah, you can go forward if you want, but I don't see anything there. Like putting A and B together to equal C. Yeah, that's not my cup of tea. But hey, if you want to keep that tinfoil hat on, that's all good, man. I don't believe that was foul play. But yeah, you can see those inferences of it. Like, they didn't even have alcohol in the stadium either.
Yeah, which was a backflip right before the World Cup kicked off. So they were going to allow it, and then they backflipped. And I mean, it's a lot of corruption in the World Cup, hey? I mean, Qatar pretty much got it purely based on money.
I heard so. That, yeah.
Yeah, it's... And the working standards for a lot of the people that were building stadiums over there were pretty grim by the sounds of things. Working in crazy heat, sweating ridiculous hours. Yeah. So, I don't know. That I don't want to speak out of term here. That part of the world seems to be a little bit behind in regards to the whole rights of people thing. I understand it's a religious thing. I understand religion is a touchy subject. But I hope that one day they can get to a place where we are now, where it's more open and free if you are in that part of the LGBTQ community.
Yeah, it's a whole different subject, which I don't want to really go down, but
because of religion, which I don't really want to talk about, but hopefully they can get there one day, like similar to how we are today, where it's much more accepting and open to just be you.
Yeah, and the thing... I think the thing is as well, like, I know they've done like surveys of people like from different religions or like from that part of the world, even like with women, because I don't about women working and stuff like that, and just asking individuals like, would you allow your wife to work? And it's in favor of yes, but because of like the social construct of if you think that everyone else thinks that they shouldn't allow them to work, then you kind of go with the herd. So it's very interesting, like finding stuff like that out, of like, that happens all the time, but because the social norm is this, then people kind of just like, when they're out in the open, say, oh yeah, I support this, but really deep down they don't.
Well, it's like with this is strange. I did not see the conversation going here, but it's like with the Holocaust, right?
Mm.
and Schindler, who was the one that really spoke out, and everyone thinks that they would probably be Schindler, but like in reality, would you actually be speaking out against the norm and really going the opposite, complete opposite way to all your peers? Like, would that really be you in that scenario? Like, you'd like to think that you'd be Schindler, but there's a probability that you probably wouldn't because there's only one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you speak out of turn, you'll be shot or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Reading that book, what was that, A Man's Search for Meaning, about Viktor Frankl being in the camps and stuff, of like the shit that they would do. And it was like, if you got to make sure that you're looking healthy or else they're just going to kick you. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to be able to work. And that, I don't know. That shit's just, it's crazy. It wasn't that long ago either. Really.
I know, it's mind-boggling, really. Like,
yeah. So far, hopefully, well, I think there is still stuff like that happening around the world as well.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's change the subject. I do want to stay on sport though, and I want to talk about how whack America is. Like, it really baffles me and blows my mind. So there was a meme going around ages ago where Donald Trump was like, that is the worst trade deal in the history of trade deals. Well, I think the worst trade deal in the history of trade deals just happened. And the WNBA player, Brittany Grimes, I believe her name is, she had a vape pen with traces of marijuana in it in Russia and was imprisoned. I believe she was in prison for 18 months over there. Well, they've recently did a swap deal, Russia and America, for a known arms dealer known as the Merchant of Death.
Yep.
What the fuck? How in any way, shape, or form is that a good deal?
It's not a good deal, put it that way.
Correct. Correct. I've got no idea what's going on there and what the thought process is behind going, okay, we'll take a WNBA player who's imprisoned in Russia and we'll switch them for the Merchant of Death, who is responsible for dealing arms to terrorists and people all over the world. Like, it's crazy to me.
How many people do you think are imprisoned over there that aren't WNBA stars?
Exactly. Exactly.
That's what you got to think about, really.
Yeah, which is, it's not a great thought.
No, it's not.
All right. Let's take a left turn. Let's talk about something that is in your lane to a T. Movies.
Movies.
Christmas movies.
Yes.
In particular.
Yes.
What's your favorite?
My favorite. Oh my gosh. So, okay. I was going to say Die Hard. Okay.
That's what I was going to say.
But the thing is, right. The thing is, I saw a video, I don't know how real this is, of Bruce Willis saying that Die Hard wasn't a Christmas movie.
And well, Willis is wrong.
Yeah, I know. He's like, it's a Bruce Willis movie. No, it's not, mate. Just relax. Like, I was very torn when I heard that. Whether that might, I'm just calling deep fake on that. That's for sure. Yeah, but so, I do love that movie. Why, you were going to say the same thing, were you?
I've got some percentages from people that were studied and research that was done on asking people what their favorite Christmas movie was. 25% of people nominated Die Hard in their top 10.
How good.
12% named Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone in their top 10.
That's a Christmas movie.
Yeah, but blows my mind. I didn't think that was a Christmas movie. Frozen was 23% in the top 10. I'm assuming just because of Christmas and snow. So that the top 10 list of movies, It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, that's a good one. That's old, bro. That is... I honestly
haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. It's very old. Like, it's black and white. And it, from what I remember, it depicts like him like about to commit suicide and then seeing what his life would be, I think, going backwards or something. I don't know. I've butchered that hardcore, but it's a really good movie.
There you go. Hot tip for the listeners. Go check out It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, number two,
number two, A Charlie Brown Christmas.
I'm not sure of that one.
No, neither am I. So the top two, I've got no idea. This would have been my one. Home Alone was number three. The Grinch, number four.
Ah, yes.
And Polar Express, number five.
Is that cartoon one?
Yeah, I believe so. The train.
I keep seeing it on Netflix.
Then there was a few others: A Christmas Story, White Christmas, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Santa Claus, and Elf.
Elf. That's a big one. That's probably top three. Elf, that one. You know
For
what?
you?
It's a really good one. We Mrs. and I watched the was it the Christmas Chronicles? Have you seen that one
No, I haven't.
Kurt Russell? I
No.
just mate, it is. I really enjoyed that one. He they kind of play on I don't know, it's very, very smart in the writing of it. You know how you're like, ah, that's funny, that's good. Like, because they're like playing on the whole Christmas and shit. They're just like, give us a ho ho ho. He's like, ah, oh, don't do that shit. Like, it's pretty funny. Yeah.
Staying on the movie thing and movie theme, I watched Avatar 2 on Saturday.
Ooh, I
Yeah,
haven't
have you
seen it
seen it?
yet. I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, so without giving spoilers, James Cameron is one hell of a producer director. However, he should stick to movies and not to health documentaries.
Oh, no.
So he did you know that he like funded a lot of What the Health? Yeah,
I did.
so
Yep.
that's an absolute piece of garbage. He
Yeah.
should really stick to movies because Avatar 1 is sensational and Avatar 2 is just as good. I love
Yes.
all the hidden messages in both movies. So I'll speak mainly about number 1, but like sticking together, being grateful for the land, all that sort of stuff. Not overtaking the land and overtaking the earth, being grateful for it. I really like that messaging and the sticking together and we are one, like it's humans, we should all be connected. I really like that messaging there. There's similar messaging in the second one. I don't want to give any spoilers for people that haven't watched it yet. So, and the graphics are insane, man. Like the graphics are crazy. So he tweeted something before it released. So I think it was December 13 or 14, and he's like, oh, the graphics in all these Marvel movies are load of shit or something, or like it's
Oh,
like pe
really?
pe peasants compared to mine, and then you watch his and you're like, yeah, okay, it definitely is. Like
Really?
the graphics are insane.
Yeah, it took him long enough to make it, didn't it?
So without giving a spoiler, he's definitely left it open for an Avatar 3,
Oh.
so we can probably expect that in about 2035.
Yeah, probably. He loves it, doesn't he? Because I remember
So
seeing the first one in 3D as well.
Yeah, I watched this one in 3D as well. So,
It, really?
yeah, it's probably one of my favorite movies, man. So when it was in
I
the
see you got the
cinemas, the first,
glasses and everything.
yeah,
I didn't even know they had 3D on steel anymore.
yeah,
Really?
yeah. Of course I do. Yeah. So you can watch it normal, or you can watch it 3D, and I watch it 3D.
Fuck.
It's
Good.
lengthy. It's 3.5 hours.
It's a mission.
Yeah. So made sure not too many fluids beforehand.
Oh my
Emptied
God.
the bowels. Made sure I did all of that, so there was no toilet breaks
Yep.
mid movie,
Shit.
and got through it. Yeah, it's fantastic. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Need like a
So,
catheter or something. Better
yes.
watch it.
So the first one was probably like for a while there was like my favorite movie. I watched it 3 times when it was in cinemas. What, 11 years ago, 12 years ago? So I'll probably go back and watch this one in 3D in cinemas again, and see if there's anything I missed or anything that, yeah,
The issue is, isn't it?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's a great movie. I mean, when it's 3.5 hours long, there's probably plenty you miss.
Oh yeah, especially like if you go to the toilet, like that's like
Yeah,
two
but I
movies
didn't.
in one. Fuck.
I know it's crazy. It's crazy long, but it is a great movie.
I love Avatar. It's the graphics when you first saw it, and then I don't know, it's just that whole the whole story arc of everything and just like the wonder of it all. Like I love those kind of movies, like the whole just different worlds out there. That I guess that's why I like Pokemon and Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, all that kind of shit. I love it.
Yeah, I knew you'd love talking about movies, mate.
Yeah, bro. I love movies. So, did you know that when lightning strikes sand, it creates a bizarre glass sculpture?
I did not know this.
Yeah, and they call it fulgurites, and they look like rocky tubes more than like glass tree roots. So, if you look up a picture of fulgurites or just like lightning striking sand. Crazy. Like,
Yeah.
yeah.
I'll have to
It's
look that
just like
up.
a sculpture coming out of the sand. It kind of just like merges and that. It's like fucking so cool.
What's the scientific reason behind that? Like, is there like some sort of reaction to the sand or?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know 100% why, but like glass is made up of sand, so you just it molds it with like the certain after a certain degree of heat, and then it molds into the sculpture. It depends like what's in the sand and all that kind of stuff. So very fascinating.
Yeah, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, because
Is that
you have
your
to, huh? That was what? Oh, I
Yeah,
was just
you go.
saying that's how you clean like big glass telescopes and stuff, like sandblasters. So
Yeah.
yeah,
Is that
crazy.
your interesting fact?
Yeah, mate.
So should I hit you with an animal one?
Yeah, go.
This one's not that interesting. I just found it funny. So you know how when animals are grouped together, they have like a name, like a flock of birds or yeah. So a group of porcupines
Right.
is called a prickle.
Hell yeah. A prickle. That's cool.
I thought that was quite cool.
Yeah. Have you seen them out in the wild before?
No, I've seen echidna out in the wild,
Do we even
but
have porcupines here?
I don't think so. I think they're an American thing, right?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. You're bringing the facts, mate. We love
Yeah,
the animal facts.
no, I've seen an echidna in the wild, but I haven't seen a porcupine in the wild. Seen one in a zoo. Does that count?
Sure, because you saw it. So, on the weekend, I surprised my missus in going through a sunflower field. Now, this is like the only one in South Australia, because for so long she's had like she tells me these things of like what she wants on her bucket list, and then I just have them in my notes just of like when I can like find them out. And yeah, this sunflower field like just randomly. I was like, holy shit, there it is. So I've been waiting for them to like finally bloom because it was like 2 months in the making where I'm like figured out the idea to go there and for her not to find out because she's, you know, people just send her stuff because she loves sunflowers.
Yeah.
So we were like finished up with my dad's side of the family up in like Gumaraka, which is shout out Gumaraka. It's got like the biggest rocking horse in the world.
Oh, you took me there.
I took you there. Yeah, you remember there? So we were there for Christmas for my dad's side, and after that we were going to go up to Handorf, which is like this German kind of place in the hills where there's like Christmas stalls. But I'm like, no, we've got the sunflower field on because it's only like a certain time you can go. It's like this little festival, so I had to figure out a way of going from the hills to basically the country, like just flat country. And luckily for me, the missus isn't very good with directions. So we were only half an hour away from Handorf. And then to get to what was like, it was in Tali, which is like country. So it was over an hour. I'm like, how am I going to get this? So I'm like, straight on the maps, like just put it in so she doesn't know. And we're just driving. She's like, oh, far out, an hour away. I'm like, yeah. So it's a fair way away. She's like, are we in the opposite direction? I'm like, yeah, we're in the opposite direction. So we're driving, no hills around. It's just flat. I'm just like, is she even going to know? Like, what's going on? She hasn't said anything yet. And then right as we're like turning in, there's like this poster of like Sunflower Festival. And she's like, look, Brad, Sunflower Festival. I'm like, oh, yeah. She's like, why aren't you more excited? We have to go sometime. I'm just like, yeah. I'm like, going along this like fucking dirt road. She's like, why aren't you more excited? I'm like, where do you think we're going? She's like, oh, are we going to the sunflower? I'm like, yeah. She's like, oh, that's so good. I'm like, does this look like Handorf? She's like, no, I was wondering why there wasn't like any hills or anything around. I was like, yep. Fuck it. It was so funny. So that was good fun. But like some of them were
it.
like, yeah, she loved it, man. Taking all the fancy photos and stuff. She's like, I want to take a photo running through the field, doing this and that. And I'm like, sweet. And they're like over 2 meters, some of them, like pretty high.
Yeah, they get quite big, hey.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even realize how big they got. So a lot of flies and a lot of bees around it and stuff. But
I bet.
yeah, so she loved that. So I'm glad I got to sort that out, because this was like, would have been ages until we would have had to go to another field, because they're like, most of them are like overseas that I've seen.
Yep.
So knocked that one off the bucket list.
All right. One last thing I want to bring up before we get stuck into the questions. We've brought up stuff like this before, but here's the title of this article. Woman who hates exercise started lifting weights to help combat arthritis and is now a regional gold medalist. So she says she's now fitter than she was in her 20s and has now won gold, silver, and bronze medals in weightlifting. She's managed to curb arthritis. She's 58 years old. She's no longer taking a cocktail of drugs. She's got her obesity in check and no longer has sore joints.
Amazing.
Another tick in the box of just start lifting weights.
Yep. Yeah, it's great for you, for sure. And I guess for so long though, she wouldn't have been ready. And something
Yeah.
might have just, yeah.
Yeah. So it was she was in severe pain with the arthritis, and then was on a it's her words were, I was on a cocktail of drugs. She said she hated exercise and she took up powerlifting to help combat her arthritis and strengthen her bones. And yeah, she's now a Commonwealth gold medalist in the sport, which is pretty crazy for someone that is claimed to have hated exercise.
Yeah, I wonder why she hated exercise. Like, there's obviously a lot of reasons why people don't like doing certain things. Maybe had like a bad experience with it or something. Like, for you to hate something, something pretty bad must have happened. Or it may just be a figure of speech of like, oh, I just hate going for a run, which I do. But it's not like I hate it.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe she was just doing the wrong kind of exercise, and exercise that modality that she didn't like, or like you said, had a bad experience in a gym, or was just lacking confidence to go in there, or was anxious about going in, and that's what created the despise for gyms. But yeah, when I read that, I was like, wow, that's so inspirational. Someone that was really battling arthritis and osteoarthritis, and they've taken up weightlifting as a way to counteract it, and they've fallen in love with it. And now they're a powerlifting champion. Like,
yeah, for
crazy.
sure. It's very, very empowering. And I do hear this more on like the women's side, just due to they once they pass menopause, their bones just a lot more frail. So it is more important probably around that age to start doing some sort of resistance training. Obviously, we preach start now, so it's a lot better for her in the future. But again, for this lady, she wasn't ready, or she just maybe didn't know how good it was. Because how old did you say she was? In
She's 58 now.
Now 60. So she obviously hasn't been brought up with how good weight, like lifting weights, is. Now we've got all this information and all these studies now, but back in those days, it was mainly go out and go for a run or whatever. I'm sure there were people preaching weightlifting, but it was, I think it was, so it may have like grown up in the 70s, 80s, like Arnold's era, where it's just like, oh, I don't want to look like that kind of thing. Like protein, stuff like that.
If I was forced to do group fitness classes where I'm doing like the grapevine and wear
down
leg
with
warmers
dog
and
and
sweatbands.
big
If I was
headband.
forced to do those aerobics classes, I probably wouldn't like exercise too much either.
Oh yeah. What were those? Oh, I remember seeing them on TV. They had the yoga mats out like on a field or whatever, and they just like got their little platform and they're just jumping up and down.
Hips, thighs, buttocks was another one.
Not Jodie Foster. That's an actor, isn't it?
I got no idea. I don't know what Jodie Foster. Anyway, let's get stuck into some questions, hey?
Yeah, let's do it. G'day, everyone. It's Brad here again. Just before we get to the questions, could you please share this with someone? The only way that we're going to reach more people and send a great message out to everyone is if you can share it, if you can like and review, give us a 5-star review, or share it with one of your friends or family. As you could tell, we don't run ads on this podcast at the moment. So if you could just do this one thing for us so that we can grow, we'd truly appreciate it. Cheers.
Question number one, what is the difference between total carbs and net carbs?
Okay, so this question probably comes from you might be like doing keto or whatever, and then you pick up a bar from like Quest or something, and it says, you know, hardly any carbs, and only a certain amount of net carbs. Basically, what it is you take your carbohydrates, your total carbs, and then you have your fiber. And then you take away the fiber from your total carbs, and that's your net carbs that actually get used for glucose, because most fibers don't get used in the body. So that's really all it is. I wouldn't even bother with like trying to work out net carbs, and carbs is too complicated with shit like that. It's like I don't even know if it like matters too much. Like you're majoring in the minors, as they say in baseball. I don't know what your thoughts are on it, but I wouldn't even bother like with trying to work that shit out, because it gets too complicated. It's same with like working out how many calories are in protein due to the thermic effect of food. You know, like obviously higher thermic effect of food, protein, you probably only get like what 30% less of like protein. It's like not even like it's just easy numbers for everything, or else you're just gonna get confused.
Yeah, totally overcomplicating it. This is one of the big reasons why we promote predominantly whole foods, though, because there's no confusing labels. There's no FDA getting involved. I believe on nutritional labels, they can be out by up to 20%. So,
Yep, either way.
yeah. So, if they're making a health food, you best believe they're going to use that 20% and they're going to make it as low calorie as possible. So, this is why we promote predominantly whole foods as much as possible, because that can't be fudged with, that can't be altered. Or if something says net carbs and they're using it as a marketing ploy, that's probably where it's coming from. It's purely a marketing ploy. But yeah, I wouldn't be worried about net carbs at all. Just look at the total carbs and go from that.
Yeah, that's literally all we need to say about
Yeah, good.
that.
Glad you agree. Question number two. Do you think technology has had a positive or negative impact on the health and fitness space?
Personally, I think it's a some positive and there are some negatives. I don't think it's a either or. If you use them correctly and you're not so married to the technology itself, I think they can be very positive. And then figuring out what works for you, and not getting so like caught up in the numbers. So just for example, with like an Oura Ring tracker, I know that how I feel in the morning will dictate more of my day than if I looked at the number and got so married to the number of like, oh, why is my HRV down, or why is my temperature up, or something like that. Oh, it's giving me a bad score. Where it's like, I know how I'm feeling, and I know that having a good mindset into the day will carry on throughout the rest of the day. And I love Apple Watches for like the step count. Not so much for like the calorie burn, because I don't need to really worry about that. And they can be very off with their burning of like how many calories you do throughout the day. They may be consistently inconsistent, but I wouldn't even worry. Again, majoring in the minors, as they say. So I think there's some positive. Some negatives are when you start to get so married to it. It's like, oh, I burnt, you know, 400 calories. That means I have like another 400 calories that I can eat, and it's all sweet. And then you're wondering why you're not losing any weight or whatever. It's because you're trying to eat back calories, and it just doesn't work like that. Like there's so many different factors going into what that technology is actually teaching you. And that's why I like a step counts, because it's like, okay, I've done 1,000 steps today. Obviously, have it be moving. It's good to get me moving, and it can give you like notifications of having breaths or mindfulness and stuff, which I really enjoy. Most people, like, it gets to a point, some people are like, oh, it's so annoying, you just forget about it. That's obviously, it depends on the person if it works for them. Personally, I love it for step counts, and sometimes it will tell me to take a mindfulness moment, and I do breathe, because in stressful days and that, breathing is great just to center yourself and just get back into that parasympathetic state, because you know, high stress jobs and that, you can really dig yourself into the ground, and you're wondering why you're either not sleeping, or you have anxiety, or all this kind of stuff, and you're not recovering because you're like so stressed out. So I think mostly it's a positive, but it needs to be use in the correct way and not so married to the numbers.
Yeah, I'm very much net positive. I mean, I no longer have to try and calculate numbers of what I've lifted in my head. I can literally just go in with my phone and have what I've lifted over the past 18 months all listed in my phone rather than like three notepads or trying to remember it in my brain. I don't have to open a Calorie King book and have a look at how many calories are in a serving of something. I can just bang,
so good.
Done in my phone. I've got a watch on my wrist that tells me how much I've been moving, how active I am throughout the day. I mean, we literally couldn't do this podcast, health and fitness podcast, without technology. So as far as I'm concerned, it's a massive net positive, and we've got lots of luxuries available to us now that people didn't have in the past. So I think it's a huge net positive. Like, people can spread good information, but they can also spread misinformation. So that's the negative that I see, is the potential misinformation spread. Liver King. That's the big negative for me, is charlatans spreading misinformation.
Yeah, or people that just don't know and they think that they're spreading the good word, but really they're just miscommunicating it or reading the data wrong or hearing it from some guru, and they speak very, very well and
confidently.
Back up, yeah, very confidently, and they're just like, oh yeah, because, you know, that was once me. Maybe there are certain things that I say that are probably wrong, and that's okay. Hopefully in a year we can brush them up and it'll be all good. But the thing with like you build a ship, inevitably there's going to be a shipwreck. You know what I mean? Like, Titanic's going to go down sooner or later. But that's what you get. And again, yeah, I do think it's probably more positive than negatives, but it's just the way you use them, just like with anything, really. The dose makes the poison, as they say.
Yeah. As far as from a coaching perspective too, I mean, to be able to have an app which has all my clients' data on it, all in the one place on my phone, makes life so simple rather than having to, and being able to work online and check in with people online from different parts of the world. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's a big net positive, but you've still got to be mindful of how you use it and not let it control you. You're in control of the technology. The technology doesn't control you. On technology, it's fantastic, right? Until it doesn't work, then it shits me up the wall. It's like, why aren't you working? You're supposed to be working.
Yeah, you know when the internet's just a little bit slower. You're like, fuck, what are you doing to me? You kind of got to be grateful we're actually using it and talking over, you know, you're in Queensland, I'm in fucking Adelaide. It's like,
yeah,
crazy.
Like we mentioned earlier in the podcast, if we were to drop this laptop 50 years ago and bang, place it in the middle of a town square, they'd be like, oh, wow, aliens, what the hell?
Exactly.
Yeah, so be grateful for the technology we have and the positive impact it can have, but be mindful there is negatives associated with it, and you've got to be mindful enough and self-aware enough to monitor that and control your usage. Question number three, how do you know how many days you need to work out in a week?
Yeah, well, this really depends on your goal and what you want to achieve. So if you think that you want to work out 6 days a week, that's because all the other people are doing it, like, that's not right. Like, you got to sit down and go, all right, why do I actually want to work out? What's the reason behind me wanting to work out right now? Obviously, we preach lifting weights because, you know, stronger bones, more muscle, you have the insurance for later on in life. And that's in the Australian government guidelines. They talk about at least twice a week. So that's the government saying that. And then 150 minutes, I believe it is, for cardio, which is another great thing. So that's for good health and vitality and moving forward in life. Now, if you wanted to step on stage at a bodybuilding stage, you'd probably need to work out a little bit longer than that. Now, the days in a week, it's not so much the days. It's going to be dependent on your situation as well. So if, you know, you don't really have a job, or your job's like maybe 1 or 2 days a week, you can work out, you know, 5, 6, 7 days a week, unless you structure it in a way where you want to work out like that. Because volume and progressive overloads, obviously the biggest main point for building muscle. So if you were to build the most amount of muscle, obviously you need to be progressing over time, and that takes so many different forms. You need that volume in there. And if you think that you're going to get, like, you know, 20 plus sets or whatever in one day of two muscle groups, like, it's just not feasible. So it really depends on, like, where you are in your journey. So if you're a beginner, between 1 to 3 times a week is good. Intermediate, maybe 2 to 4. And then advanced, you can go from 3 onwards, I would have thought. That's just general recommendations. But again, you have to work, and you might do double days as well. Just depends on your schedule. Like, you might only have half an hour in the morning, half an hour at night. Like, it really depends. So there's no like one size fits all. So really, when I'm coaching people, I ask them, like, realistically, how many times can you work out in a week for the rest of your life? And usually I've had people say like 6. I'm like, realistically, like,
bullshit.
Just starting out. Yeah, just like starting out. And you're like, sometimes it's just like you try and explain to them and they don't understand it. You're like, all right, let's see how you go. And then they see over the month or two, they're like, okay, maybe we need to pull it back. And that's fine. You just got to meet them where they're at. And then they'll come around. Sometimes it's easier just letting them figure it out by themselves instead of telling them like what is actually going on. Like, you can suggest it to them, but if they're not ready to hear it, then yeah, you can't change people's minds really.
Yeah, this question is a massive it depends. So, but there's only really two factors in my opinion at play. So the first one is your lifestyle, and the second is your goals. I mean, you could put a third in the importance of achieving your goals, but the main two are lifestyle and goals for how many days a week you should be training. Like, what's feasible for you? How many days a week can you fit in with your current schedule? And let's say it's the worst week ever. So let's say a family member's passed away. You've got to move house. Let's say there's a whole burden of things that have happened. How many times can you train in that week? That's what you should set your program up for. And then if you get a bonus on top of that, it's a bonus rather than setting yourself up for that one extra and then you fall one session short and you're like, oh, damn it, I didn't complete all my sessions this week. You're best off undershooting and then getting a bonus session and feeling fantastic about yourself rather than aiming for, let's say, 4 and you only get 3, and 3 is fantastic. 3 is great. But if your goal was 4 and you only get 3, you'll probably be let down. Whereas if your goal was 3 and you somehow managed to get 4, then you'd feel over the moon. So I think they're the two main factors. Your lifestyle is probably number one. Your goals is number two. And then I suppose a third caveat would be the importance or how desperate you are to achieve your goals.
Yeah. Also think about structuring your workouts as like workout 1, workout 2, or workout 3, instead of on Monday, I do chest, on Tuesday, I do back. Because if you miss a day, then you've missed that whole body group. And be okay with, say it's like a 4-day program, be okay doing 3 days on 1 week and then day 4 the following week. Like, we talk about like macro cycles, which is like a year. You got like mesocycles, which can be between like 4 to 8 weeks. And then you got microcycles, which are like a week. But microcycles don't always have to be a week. They could be 2 weeks. So you could do like four workouts over 2 weeks. Like, it doesn't have to be like just 1 week, Monday to Sunday. It's not, you're not going to work. You're working out. Well, actually, that's a lie. You are going to work, but yeah, you know, it's not like work. It's different. This is your fitness journey. You can like make up your own rules about what your microcycle is going to be. So it could be a 2 week microcycle, and that's fine. And it's just getting over that whole, I have to put all these workouts in this 1 week block instead of, no, it's fine being over 2 weeks. I'm fine with that. Like, let's go 2 weeks instead of the 1 week. Cause I think a lot of people put pressure on themselves doing everything all in 1 week. And then they strive so hard at the first month, and then like burn out, like, oh fuck. And that's coming back to the whole reassess what you actually wanted to do in this minimum of weeks of like, okay, as long as I get 2 workouts in the week, it's great. And like you said, bonus if you get more. And that's a good way of looking at it. Or you could just say, I want to get 4 or 5 workouts in over 2 weeks and then spread it out like that. Because I think 1 week can be very, very constrained sometimes, especially if you're working Monday to Friday and then you've got the weekends and then something happens on the weekend and then you miss it and you're like, oh, fuck. And then you're like, oh, I'll start fresh on Monday, which you hear so many times, which is fair, like, because, you know, fresh start effect, but expand your mind of like not just having it in this 1 week, just think over longer term, because it's that consistency over time. So then you're not always spinning your wheels on the, I'll start on Monday and then something comes up and you're like, okay. Reassess those goals and reassess how you structure your workouts.
A week is literally something we've invented ourselves as humans, right? Like,
basically,
it's just day after day after day. I know several people that follow like a 6 day program and then they restart it. And I know several people that do an 8 day. So they'll do like a push pull legs rest, four, push pull legs rest, four, and then they start again. So it's 8 days. So they're in the gym different days each week. And then I know several people that go upper lower rest, and that's six. So that's they're just going off the days, not off a week structure, because a week's just literally something we've
It
invented.
is.
Yeah.
It is. And it is hard for some people that are very structured and like, no, I need to go to the gym these certain days. But you also have to take into account that you might miss a day and just continue on with, workout one, workout two, or whatever it is, like push, pull, whatever, like that
Flexible.
instead. Exactly right. And
Flexible in your approach, like with dieting.
yep. Better. It's so much better flexible than it is rigid. And you do need like some sort of structure, but knowing that within that structure, you can be flexible and that will, in most cases, keep you going for the long term, which is what we want. We don't want you to go so hard at the start and then you burn out because it wasn't sustainable. So I don't think it was sustainable. It was more so you were just too rigid on your approach.
Agreed. Question number four. What's one thing this year you've needed to rethink about your coaching?
Yeah, I was thinking about this. There's been a few things. The first one that came to mind was about weight training and how I wanted everyone to do it. And it was the bee's knees, which it is the bee's knees, don't get me wrong. But just stepping back and knowing that some people just either don't want to do it because they don't enjoy it or they're not ready to do it. Or I haven't explained to them how beneficial it is to them, but knowing that like it's okay that they're just doing other things and we're working on like mindset and working on their nutrition or working on like how they're feeling throughout the day instead of like, oh, did you lift this week? Like my coaching sessions, I do, Zoom or video calls with them, and sometimes we don't even talk about training at all, and it's crazy. Like I was so like. You have to do these workouts. Like, the government guidelines, they're saying 2 weeks, 2 days now. Like, you got to do it, like, all this kind of stuff. But I've had to just rethink my way that I speak about that to them. Because I think sometimes when you push it on people, of like, oh, weight training is amazing for you, like, as if you're not doing it, they can get quite down because if they're not doing it, and they think that, oh, I'm missing out on all these things, like, and they can feel bad about themselves. And that's not what I wanted to happen when I do speak to them. Like, I want to encourage them and let them come to the decision on themselves instead of saying, like, all right, you need to be doing this right now. And just like little comments from them saying, like, thank you for not pushing weight training on me, has just really like, I'm like, whoa, okay, that's a really important point. That I got told, like, so I was really grateful for that comment. And so it's made me rethink, okay, so some people are like, I'm really happy with just like having a chat what's going on, and not having to like lift weights. And they said that they will do it eventually, and it's great, and I'm all for that. But it's just like meeting where people where they are, so then they can go forward. Because I think if I pushed it too much on them, they would just probably like leave me as a coach, and then I'm not helping anyone. And it's a lot easier for us on a podcast because we're not directly speaking to people. So then they can kind of hear it from, an outside of you. But when I'm talking with certain clients, I think that goes for everything as well. Is if you're trying to push something on someone, they're going to rebel so hard and then not do it, just like with like alcohol with kids or whatever, and all this kind of stuff. It's like you kind of got to not bait them in, but like just let them come to it on their own, and then it'll be a lot better for them in the long run. So that's what I've been rethinking over the last year.
Yeah. So I had a little bit of think about this, and I know the question said one point, but I probably have two. So I probably went into the year as more of a looking to get transformations from people and really change people's lives in the way of their body composition. Whereas now, and I do not like the word, now I would see myself as more of like a life coach and being there more for people in terms of support through whatever it may be. So that's probably one area that I've really changed upon, rather than getting away from like tracking macros, following your program to a T. I've moved more into line of like, no, this happened in your life this week. That's totally okay. Like, you need to focus on managing that and managing that stress first before you can move into this or do this. So I think that's one area I've really improved upon and sort of changed my view on. As, and I don't like the term life coach, but I'm probably moving more towards that way, which has probably given me a bit of imposter syndrome to a little bit, because I work with people that are a fair bit older than me and have a lot more life experience than me. And it's like, hang on, what am I doing telling this person that that's okay, or encouraging this person to do this? So yeah, that's probably one thing I changed. And the second one would again be an imposter syndrome. It'd be like, at the start of the year, I was really questioning myself on whether I truly was a good coach and making an influence in people other than just a physical transformation. Like, was I making a positive impact in their life? And I was really, really questioning myself at the start of the year. Now, one client in particular, and I will give her a shout out, and I know she listens to the podcast, Andrea, she sent me a lovely message, and yeah, it proved to me that I'm making a positive impact in people's lives, which is what I want to do.
Fuck yeah, bro. Appreciate you. You are, man. It's great to hear those messages. Like, you are so good, like, such a good coach, and the information you put out is amazing, and I'm proud of you. It's crazy how much, like, you can change people's lives just from, like, little interactions. And you're good, bro.
Yeah. Thank you, Andrea. I know you're listening, and thank you.
Yeah, shout out, Andrea. Got a great coach on your hands, for sure. Yeah, it's like, go on.
And that's what I mean with the whole changing my approach with the way that I coach people. So Andrea's had a lot on her plate, particularly the last 2 months. And sure, she hasn't made crazy changes body composition-wise, but I can see she's moving in the right direction, and I can see her mindset shifting. And it's phenomenal to know that I can have such a positive impact on someone's life where I was questioning that at the start of the year. So she'll know the message she sent, and I did thank her for it. But yeah, I know she's listening. Thank you very much.
Yeah, bro, for sure. And that's all it takes sometimes, isn't it? Just a little thank you. And in this, like, line of field, it's hard to see the transformation people are going for, because you're always seeing on social media of, like, this person's body, and you're not going to, like, what's actually going on in their head. Like, you just couldn't know, like, oh, this is an 8-week transformation. Yes, body's changed, but, like, what's actually gone inside? And that's, it's great that you've gone that way. I've definitely gone that way of just going deeper into what's actually going on in people's lives and just working it through them, and just hearing stories from some of my clients of just how hard they have it,
mm-hmm.
and just opening up your mind of, like, fuck, like, I'm responsible for, like, giving good information to this person. Like, they trust me with this information, and to help them through it and go through it in a way where you're not, like, it's all about the body, where it's like, it's definitely not. And it's so far down the track that, and I'm glad we are both on the same page when it comes to transformations, because it doesn't have to be a body transformation. It's definitely a mindset around it. And that's why we preach just having that mindset around certain things. And it's just great to see. And those messages are just, when they come through, you're just so grateful for them, and how much, like, especially when you just don't realize how much you can make an impact on people's lives. But, like, you just say one little thing, and then they'll just take it, mm-hmm. and then fly with it. And you're just like, Fuck, I didn't even realize. And I think it's a good lesson for people out there that if someone's helped you, just one little bit, just acknowledging him, like just something of just like, thank you for this. You'd be surprised how far it could actually take someone. So obviously it's a very, very touching moment right now, like how deep you've gone sharing this. So appreciate you, man.
Well, it's literally in the name of our podcast. So it's brain, body, movement. And the reason we started the podcast was we wanted to touch and help as many people as possible. So to get that and to get appreciation shown is phenomenal.
It really is. It really is. And it's when you're on calls with people, they're just pouring their heart out and you just have so much empathy for them. It is hard to you kind of get like you said, imposter syndrome of like, should I really be like, I'm not a psychologist or by all means, but if sometimes it does feel like that, you're listening to people talk about the most deepest shit ever, and you're like, fuck, like gotta be really careful what we say. And that's why we started the podcast, so we can like spread some word out there and not speaking specifically to certain people, but people will take certain things from little things that we say. And then yeah, like I said, fly away with it. And yeah, it's good, man.
All right, so that's a wrap to today's episode and a wrap for 2022. So we just want to say thank you so much for listening to us, not just this episode, but every episode throughout the year and being part of the brain body movement. Now, if you want your questions answered in the future, make sure you are following us at brain.body.movement, at Brad Dapper, and at Brock underscore Douglish, and you can ask us a question whenever we put up a sticker box or send us a DM. If you enjoyed or took any value at all from this episode, we would really appreciate it if you took a screenshot and shared to your Instagram stories. We'd also love it if you shared it with family and friends and left us a 5-star review. And don't forget to turn on those post notifications so you don't miss an episode. But before we go, if we can leave you with a few things, make your damn bed, get your steps in, be kind to one another, and have a very happy 2023.
Cheers. I watch like replays, so
Yep.
which pretty well encapsulate in cap. Oh my God, encaps it pre it. It
Not sure if you leave that in or just chuck it at the end because that is
I might
gold.
chuck it. I might chuck it at the end. Fucking all right.